So I spoke a few weeks ago, or a few probably months ago now, I think, about guarding your heart. Anybody here for that? It was a couple months ago, and I had talked about a few things, and then I said something about that's a whole nother message, because I didn't give you some ideas or some solutions. I know at work, when we come there with a problem, you got to come with a couple solutions, and you can't just complain. You got to have solutions. Well, I preached the message, and then I kind of didn't go down that road because I said that was a whole nother message. So tonight we're going down that road here a little bit. So we're going to have a little bit of a recap of that one just to catch anybody up who wasn't here, or just to refresh our memory on it, because, I don't know, it's been resonating in my head and my mind for a long time. Guard your heart, Proverbs 4 and 23. We'll see if Ethan can keep up with me. I got a whole bunch of scriptures because I'm kind of recapping one message and going on to another one. So I got a whole bunch of scriptures, and we are going to fly through them real quick. So if he keeps up, he keeps up, and if he don't, hopefully he does. Proverbs 4 and 24, watch over your heart with all diligence, for from it flows the springs of life. We talked about guarding your heart because from it flows the springs of life. Some different versions say it a little differently, but I was talking about faith and the foundation of our faith and the foundation of our lives and strengthening that foundation. Anybody who's ever been a builder or anything, you know that anytime you overdo the foundation, that's always a good thing. You never want to skip on that foundation. And I think God wants to strengthen our foundation of the faith in our lives. It's important that we stay in that position of faith. We get outside of that position of faith and we just start to lose heart. Lose heart, we lose faith. We're not believing for things that God can do or things that we know that he's going to do. I had the verse Psalms 27 and 13 in there. I would have despaired unless, and I kept saying underline that unless, because that's a whole different change there. I had believed that I would see the goodness of the Lord in the land of the living. Amen. I'm going to try to get through this without getting all teared up, because I usually do that, but I'm going to try not to this time. I try not to every time, but sometimes it just gets to me. We need to keep that in our mind. I would have despaired unless I had believed. Who believes? Do we believe we're going to see the goodness of the Lord in the land that we're living? He's bigger than everything we got going on here. He's bigger than the news that Paul talked about. He's bigger than everything. So in recap, we need to be a people of faith, a church of faith, just one that stands out, that when people come through the door, they know that they're rooted in faith. They got a solid foundation. You come in with a problem, you come in, the sister brings up a healing or a prayer for healing, and by faith we believe. I don't just say, oh, I hope so, but by faith I believe that's going to come apart, because with God all things are possible. We need to be that church that believes that Psalms 27, that we never stop believing. Nothing is above or beyond faith. We are going to see God manifest himself in mighty ways. So how do we stay in that position of faith when I am surrounded by evil? Other verse I had in there, Psalms 49 and 5. Why should I fear in the days of evil when the iniquity of my heels surrounds me? Psalmist puts it, in the days of evil. We've been talking about it being dark, and the days are evil. I got to agree with that. Why should I fear? Seeing a nature show the other day, I was in the Serengeti, and they had this little gazelle-type deer-looking thing, and it was surrounded by a whole pride of lions that were coming after it, and it was scared. But it got away. Why should I fear when I'm surrounded by evil? Because I got God on my side. We don't need to fear. Everywhere we turn, everywhere we're surrounded by it, we don't have to get stuck. We don't have to lose heart. Talked about guarding your heart needs to be top priority, above all things, above everything, very top of the list, above it all. Whatever lists you got, whatever priorities you got, at the very, very topest, it needs to be guarding your heart. The New Living Translation, I like comparing different versions. I'm a New American Standard guy, but I like to compare others and just read them, and I like this New Living Translation one. guard your heart above all else, for it determines the course of your life. Talked about having a watchman. Guarding your heart sometimes can be translated as having a watchman. Watchman on the wall, guarding a city or guarding a military place or guarding anything. And that watchman stands on that wall and he guards and he looks out and he's the one that determines what gets through that gate. Off in the distance we see when someone coming. Is it an enemy? Is it a friend? Do we close the gate? Do we open it? That watchman is the guard. He determines what comes or what goes or what stays, what gets put off and not allowed in. Talked about problem nowadays. We've let our guard down. We don't have that watchman on the wall. Either that or that watchman's sleeping, too busy, on his phone, cares of the world, wore down. That's how the devil's going to get into our lives. We stop guarding our heart. We kind of wonder why we lose hope. We lose faith. I believe the devil's after our hope. Anybody agree with that? After our hope? How easy is it to get into a place of hopefulness, hopelessness? All of a sudden, a few things don't go our way, and we're right there. We're down in the muck and the mire, and we're losing hope. We lose our hope. We don't have our faith. Hebrews 11:1. Faith is the assurance of things hoped for, the conviction of things not seen. So what is faith? Faith is assurance of things what for? Hoped for. Without hope, we got no faith. In other words, faith comes from hope. So if the devil can get your hope, if he can get you down, he's got your faith. Without your faith, what can we do? Without God, without faith, where are we going to get? Kind of came to this analogy in my head of the pilot light on your stove. Anyone have a gas stove or a gas fireplace? We got a gas fireplace at home, and if that pilot light isn't lit, I can turn that thermostat or turn that on switch all I want, but without that little flame of hope, that pilot light, we ain't going to get no fire. That hope is our pilot light to our faith. So it's going to light that up. Without hope, we got no faith. Without faith, we're struggling. Our foundation isn't solid. I think this version said the assurance of things hoped for. Some versions say the substance of things hoped for. We let our guard down. We don't guard our heart. We start letting all that cares of the world and stuff in. We lose hope. Start to get weighed down by the cares of the world. We're losing our faith. I want to be a church that believes Psalms 27. I would have lost heart unless I believed. The devil is after our heart. He's after our hope. Anyone agree with that? Yeah. Roaring lion, seeking who he can devour. There's an area of hopelessness in your life. You can assuredly point it to a lie from the devil. If you've lost hope, if you've lost faith in something, if you lost hope, I guarantee if you backtrack that, it comes from a lie from the devil. Talked last time about being a high-value target. We are a high-value target. Compared it to the White House. The White House, if we didn't guard that or we didn't have all the crazy security measures they have, what would happen? Someone's coming in. They're trying to come in even with all that stuff. And we don't even can't even fathom what all is going on to protect that because it's a high-value target. Our hearts, our bodies, our lives, our relationship with Christ is a high-value target. We need to guard it above all else. If we don't guard it, the devil's coming in. So I spoke last time, and I said I had some ideas or some thoughts of how to guard your heart. I said we didn't have time. That was a whole nother message. And even, was it Monday? I hadn't even really prepared. I'm always thinking, and you always got some things in your head burning, but I hadn't sat and put it down to, I'd say pen to paper, but it's finger to iPad or tablet, because I don't like iPads. But I hadn't put it all together. But then I was praying and where to go, and this is where I came back to. And then when Kirsten had her song today, the Second one, whatever's beautiful. She said that was, you said all week on your heart?
Since Sunday.
So since last, earlier this week and Monday, I was preparing this. And that goes along to a T of this message. So that's just good confirmation. Even before I had prayed and gotten down where it, she was already working over there. So it's pretty cool to see. So, I got four things. I don't have a ton of time, so I got to cruise here a little bit. Oh, he's already got it up. Watch vigilantly. It's kind of a continuation of the guard your heart a little bit. Watch vigilantly. Proverbs 4 says, above all else, guard your heart. Above everything, that needs to be the top priority. Stop paying attention. Devil's going to work his way in. I had another kind of analogy here a little bit. Parents, we got lots of parents in the house or in the church here today. I got four of them myself. You probably are more because you got the smallest one that I know of right now. If you didn't pay attention to your kid, what would happen? He's in that stage now where he's going to be trouble. He is trouble. If he comes from Bobby, he's going to be trouble. He's got that look in his eyes a little bit. How many times would our kids have died if you didn't watch them? Over the course of life, how many? All my kids would be dead, that's for sure. Ethan, he'd be long gone because he ain't that old. You put the picture up already. So I was going to say, if you think your kids are too good and you don't need to watch them because, yeah, my kids are all really good, they're well-behaved, I'm a pastor's kid or something. I had the analogy of Kim works in the school, and there's always that one kid like that that you don't ever turn your eyes on because if you do, you don't know what's going to happen. He's either going to be out the door and across the street or he's going to be beating someone up. You can only imagine the things that's going to go on. So that kid, we need to treat our heart like that one kid. We can never turn our eyes from it. We can never turn away from guarding it. Because if we do, it's going to get in. Something's going to happen. That little bugger there is going to come in and pop you one. And then we lose our hope. And then we lose our faith. Don't ever turn your eyes on that. It says it right in the Bible. Above all else. It's not a light commandment or a suggestion. It is a, above all else, diligently, guard your heart. Don't turn your back on it. Number two. I was doing some studying, and some of this stuff comes from that. So if it doesn't sound like something Swartout would say or Corey, I can't say Swartout because there's a bunch of us here. Something I would say, meditate strategically. What comes to mind when we say that? Next picture. This isn't what I'm talking about. I'm not talking about sitting on the beach with the cross legs and the fingers and the... I'm not talking about doing more yoga or more meditation. But we're going to get there. Go ahead and go back to the word slide of it. Paul talked about the news and all the things in it that are no good. And we've been talking about the dark, dark world and everything and the... Just all that's going on. We need to keep our focus on God. We don't need to get weighed down by the what's going on around us. We don't need to just focus on it. The world's so full of information nowadays. You pick your phone up and you can see every tragedy across the world. And it gets in your head and you think about it. And even in your city. I know at the fire department where I work, someone has a baby, I'm going to organize a meal chain. Someone has a cold, I'm going to organize a meal chain. Let's donate. I mean, every little thing, we're doing something for someone. And I'm not saying we don't need to do that, but sometimes that's not our worries. It's not our appointment. We need to focus on things that are above, whatever's beautiful, whatever's good. So I'm kind of comparing this to, anyone watch a movie you really like? Seen a really, really, really good movie? The next, you haven't seen one in a while? There hasn't been a lot of good movies. I really like Star Wars. So when the new ones came out after 1,000 years of not having one, I was fired up. I liked it. Seth might not have liked them as much, but I did. And you watched that movie and you enjoyed it and you liked it. And the next day, I'm thinking about it. And I'm thinking about this scene or I'm thinking about that scene. And I can't wait to get to work to talk to those guys to compare what they saw and what I missed. And then argue with Seth because he said they wrecked Star Wars. But it was on my mind for a long time. That movie, it was stuck there. That's how we need to be with our work, our walk with God. We can't just read our Bible for our 15 minutes in the morning. Oh, I got 15 minutes. Okay. Oh, I got 3 more minutes. Almost done. We can't just pile through it. And boom, we've done. I did my duty. I read my chapter. I got my 1,056 days, I think, on my Bible app streak today. Woo! But did I really study it? Did I really meditate on it? That's the type of meditation I'm talking about, where it consumes your thoughts and you're thinking about it all day long. Not just a measure of your time, but a quality of that time that we're spending. This verse goes with the song that she sang, Philippians 4 and 8. Finally, brethren, whatever things are true, whatever things are noble, whatever things are just, whatever things are pure, whatever things are lovely, whatever things are of good report, if there's any virtue, and if there's anything praiseworthy, meditate on these things. I like it. It's right out of the Bible. Meditate on these things. Don't be thinking about that person that made you mad or this thing you saw on Facebook or, oh, can you believe what they said? I can't believe they'd say that. And I'm not saying just put on the blinders and tune out the world and tune out all the bad things that are happening. I'm not saying we need to just ignore them and walk around with blinders on like, oh, no, we're good, we're good. Because it's out there. We need to be aware of it. But I'm saying don't meditate on it. Don't meditate on it day and night. We know evil exists. You got to know your enemy. Because if you don't, he's going to come get you. But let's meditate on the things that can overcome our enemy. I said something about being mad at someone, and you focus on it. Been mad at people at work. I have a good friend I've worked with our whole career, and a few years ago he made me mad, and I got stuck on it. And it was about a whole month that I was just mad at him. And after a few weeks, it's like I couldn't even really remember what started it. But that's all I could think of is that I'm mad at him and mad at him. And I focused on that over and over and over and over. And I couldn't even remember what the initial incident was anymore. We need to get our focus on Jesus, not on what's getting us down. Good example of that is going to India. We grew up in India as kids. We'd spend 6 months a year out of the year there. Initially, it was the years at first, but it just got too long and too hot. But you go to India. I've been there back quite a few times, and usually you go for 3 weeks. Kim knows because she stays home with all the kids. Usually we had a kid, and then I went to India a couple months later for 3 weeks or so. But every time you'd go to India, everything you do there is focused on Jesus, everything. You're there. You're staying in the Bible school where all the Bible school students are. You're going to orphanages and churches, and in the morning, you wake up and you eat breakfast, and usually when you're with mom and dad, you have a Bible study no matter what. So in the morning, you wake up, eat your breakfast, pray, have a Bible study, and then boom, we're on the way. And you're going to a church, or you're going to see this or that, and then you eat, and then you eat some more, and you eat some more, and go to another church. And your whole day, every day, is filled with church, filled with Jesus. And it's so easy to get fired up or focused. And then you, where you don't even want it, you want to come back here and say, yeah, that's it, I'm done. I'm quitting the fire department. I'm just going to live in India. Because you're just on fire, ready to go. Then you come back and slowly you get back into the grind and the routine and you fade away. Not fading away, but your fire goes down just a little bit. I know you guys could probably agree. You spend that time with Jesus, you're going to get fired up. got one speaker that I really like, or read a lot of his stuff, and he uses these phrases all the time, and it's ones I really like. We need to be planted in the soil of God's word, in the soil of God's presence, and in the soil of God's people. Just plant yourself there, in his word, in his presence, and surrounded by his people. That's where things are going to grow. That's where things are fertile. Third thing, I'm going along here pretty good. I might be going a little too fast. Third thing, pray constantly. Pray constantly. 1 Thessalonians 5 and 17, what's it say? It's kind of small. Pray without ceasing. You can argue with me and say, yeah, I don't really agree with Corey's number three on the list, but it's right there. Right there in the Bible, its own very verse. It's not even, that's it. That is the verse. Pray without ceasing. So if you want to argue with me, that's fine. You can try arguing against the Bible, but I guarantee you're going to lose. Right there. Pray without ceasing. Go ahead in the next one. Put them all up so we can get a little before and after context. Next verse. Rejoice always. I like it. Pray without ceasing. In everything, give thanks, for this is God's will for you in Jesus Christ. Next verse I had on my list here was Matthew 26 and 41. Got that next verse? Watch and pray, lest you enter into temptation. The spirit indeed is willing, but the flesh is weak. So I've been talking a lot about watching and that watchman on the wall and guarding over your heart. And I don't think that's what's meant here. I don't think he's talking about, the Bible's living. It changes whatever, but he's not talking about being a watchman, but he's talking about watching over your heart. Watch and pray. So what I'm getting at in this verse here is when we watch, I'm on the wall, I'm watching, and I see the enemy coming and I see the evil, that watching should lead me to praying. It should take me, if I'm watching out for the devil, it should take me to a place of prayer. I see the enemies coming, and I say, Lord, I need your help, I need your strength. I see sickness coming. I said, Lord, I need your help, your healing. I see sin is coming. Lord, I need your grace. If we are watching, it should lead us to a place of prayer. What happens when we don't pray? It's kind of a long words here, and I'll get tongue-tied in them, but prayerlessness is me saying to God, I don't need you. Me saying, I can do this on my own. I'm watching out and I see the devil, but I got this. Does it work that way? It don't work that way, I tell you that. If we ain't praying, we ain't watching. Hopelessness is ultimately saying, this is impossible. I've lost hope. Can we see revival in the country? No, it's gone. It's too far. We're beyond hope. Duluth, it's crazy town. It's beyond hope. It ain't even worth praying for. Duluth is gone. Can we see cancer healed? Huh? Can we see it? I'm in the negative standpoint here, so don't take me wrong. Can that person be set free from addiction? Nope, it's impossible. In my effort, it is. Can I heal him of cancer? I can't do it. Human effort, it is completely impossible. Good news is we're not on our own, though, are we? I got the King of Kings, Lord of Lords on my side. Apart from Jesus, it is impossible. Matthew 19 and 26. It says it right there in the verse, right in the Bible. Jesus looked at them and said to them, "With men this is impossible, but with God all things are possible." That's the good news. I don't have to do it on my own. I can't do anything on my own. Coupled with Jesus, coupled with God, nothing's impossible. Imagine being a soldier in the army and getting sent to some country to take it and saying to the rest of the army, "I don't need you. I got this. I'm a one-man show. I got this. I don't need your tanks. I don't need your artillery. I don't need your boats. I got this. I'm going to go take Iran or Iraq." Or that's what we're doing when we're turning our back, not praying, not meditating, not walking with Jesus. He's on the winning team. He is the winning team. We need to be on it. Wouldn't you want to be on that team? Avery had her first basketball game last night. She'll be kind of mad, but they got spanked. Wouldn't you want to be on the team that wins every single time if you had the opportunity? Might get old after a while, but I'm going to choose to be on a winning team. God, all things are possible. You can look at that mountain of a problem. Dad talked about that mountain of a problem of my grandpa as a drunk, and with God he spoke to him, and that was a change right there. So if you're truly watching over your heart or guarding over your heart, that watching should lead you to prayer. Fourth and last thing, cruising along pretty good here. Cast liberally. What do we mean by that? First thing that comes to my mind is fishing. Steve was the same way. I know Paul might have thought it, but Paul's in my example here. It says cast liberally, and I see a kid just chucking it. And we got one guy at work that I fished with one time, and he is a professional fisherman. And he is so wound up over it that every cast I would make, he's like, "Well, what'd you cast there for?" I'm like, "Because there's water there. The fish are in the water, right? Oh, I wouldn't cast there." And he had everything placed out. He was no fun to fish with because everything had to be perfect. All the years we've known Paul, I've never fished with him, but he's a fish biologist or was in an earlier part. And he's a hardcore fisherman. I know just from talking to him. I don't know if we could fish together. And that's why Paul likes to fish alone, because he's serious about his fishing, and he'll cast in certain spots, and me, there's water I'm throwing. You do a lot of trolling on Lake Superior, and you go out, and you just start trolling, and you could troll all over. There's water. Where's the fish? Cast liberally. So where I'm getting at there, cast your cares. Anyone ever get weighed down? Anybody got troubles, worries? If you say no, you're lying. One of the things we need to learn and get better at is casting our cares to Jesus. Getting rid of them. Cast liberally. I don't need to be taking that weight and carrying it. I can get rid of it. 1 Peter 5, 6 and 7. "Therefore, humble yourselves under the mighty hand of God, that he may exalt you at the proper time, casting all your anxieties on him, because he cares for you." He's telling you, get rid of it. Give it away. I've paid the price for it. Don't carry that burden. Sure. Go back one, Ethan. back one slide. The words of the, there you go. I said I like comparing versions. If you go to the Amplified version of that, I'm going to read it to you because we don't have it in the computer there, but casting all your cares, and in parentheses it has all your anxieties, all your worries, all your concerns, once and for all, on him. For he cares about you with deepest affection and watches over you very carefully. Give it all to him. We don't need to be carrying that around. We don't need to be carrying that and weighing our heart down. Cast liberally. You can't be a watchman without seeing some stuff. If you're on the guard and you're watching for what's coming to get in, there's bad things out there, and you're going to experience them. They're going to hit you. You're going to get it. But if you're in there as a watchman, we can close that gate and deflect it. But we need to just cast that away. We can't keep it with us. We're not made to carry all that with us. That's why Jesus came on the, died on the cross, took our sins, took our worries, he paid the price. Good example of that I kind of had, and I don't talk too much about that stuff, is the fire department. I've seen more death and more despair and heartache. I don't want to carry it. I do my best to fix the people I can, and I know I do the best with every single person, so I don't let it bother me. Someone dies, I did the best I could to save them, and God had other plans. But you can't carry all that around with you forever. We need to cast that away. Matthew 11 and 29. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I am gentle and humble in heart, and you will find rest for your souls. We don't need to carry that burden. He's telling you, take my yoke. I'll trade you. Anybody ever make a trade? Talk about a good trade. I'm going to take all my garbage and all the weight of the world and all my anxieties and fears, and I'm going to give them to you, and then I'm going to take up your yoke that's light. That's a good trade. Apart from the kingdom, we can't do that. We can't do that on our own. The reasons we carry them burdens around is because we just don't know how to cast them or give them to Jesus. Out of my notes here. Lord, what is my assignment? I can't conquer the whole world, but what do you want me to focus on? What is my assignment? What's my area that you want me dealing with? Who's my person or my task? Am I to be a Sunday school teacher? What's my assignment, Lord? Because I can't do everything on my own. I can't do it all. I need to be consistent or intentional with our prayers, looking for guidance. So, four things. Watch over your heart vigilantly. Meditate strategically. I know I had a time a while back when I was making hay and things weren't going good and I was mad. But yet I had this worship song stuck in my head over and over and over. And I remember thinking, not now, God, I'm angry. But my mind is meditating on things of above, but I'm trying to be angry. And I even told him, not right now, I'm angry. We need to meditate on things above, whatever's beautiful, whatever's good. Pray constantly. The Bible tells us, pray without ceasing. Pray constantly. Cast our cares liberally. I got a few more notes, but I think that's going to be about where I'm calling her good. Above all else, guard your heart. Keep that hope, pilot light of that hope going to ignite our faith, build strong foundations, guard our hearts so the devil can't get in and lie to us and wear us down, tell us that we're not good enough, tell us all kinds of lies, because it all comes back to him, lying, an evil bugger. Watch out for that little kid that's out to get you. And cast our cares, because we don't need to carry them. I'm going to call it good there. Lord, I just thank you for this night, Lord God, and I thank you for each and every person here, as I always do, Lord God. Thank you for the work that you've started here in this place and in this church, Lord, your body of believers. I ask that you just let the message go forth, Lord God, and just land on that fertile soil, Lord. Go forth and do good things, Lord. Things that bring you glory, Lord, and things that bring you praise, Lord God, because it's all about you. It's all about you, Lord God. We ask you to just strengthen walks, strengthen prayer lives, strengthen what we're thinking about, what we're meditating on, Lord God. Just draw us close to you, Lord God. Just light that fire that can't be unlit or can't be hidden, Lord God. We just thank you for each and everything you've done in our lives, Lord. Thank you for your mercy and your grace that you've shown us, Lord God. We just want to give you all the thanks and the glory and honor and praise here in this place tonight, Lord. In Jesus' name, amen.